Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to On the Rise, a podcast about female college tennis players on the way up. On the Rise serves compelling stories and unique angles in women's college tennis. This is your host, Perry Scheinen. In this episode of On the Rise, I will be speaking with University of Texas freshman Charlotte Shivatipon, who was part of the 2021 NCAA championship team. Led by head coach Howard Jaffe and assistant coach Taylor Fogelman, the University of Texas Longhorns edged Pepperdine 4-3, in one of the most epic finals in NCAA history, to capture this year's team title. All right, Charlotte, this is so exciting. This is On the Rise podcast for college tennis players who are on the way up. And thank you so much for joining us today. We have Charlotte from the University of Texas. I'm so excited to kick it off with you because a very big thing just happened. Charlotte, do you want to tell us about your weekend?
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me on the Rise. It was actually kind of a funny phone call with Howard telling me, but then here I am. So over the weekend, we won NCAAs. I think our third national championship in school history, and it's been like, I think over 25 years since the last one.
That is so fantastic. Well, I watched the match and I just want to say, so unbelievably impressive from both you and your team, but an amazing match really, and truly the level of tennis was unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Pepperdine played very well. We were this close to losing the doubles point. It just happened to turn our way, which was really huge for our outcome of our success. I mean, getting the doubles point, I won my match, we got 2-0 lead. And then next thing you know, like two matches on my team lose. And then Peyton turns it around from a set deficit, and she comes back and wins that set against Ashley Leahy. And then I think our six lost the match, but she played pretty well and the girl is good. And then Lulu, like, she's up a set in 4-2 and she freaking loses the set. And then now we're in a third set nail biter and she gets down a break.
Unbelievable tennis. Unbelievable. But I want to bring it back to the doubles point because you spoke very nicely about the doubles point, but that was also very much in your control. You were out there. You were doing the thing. So can I hear about it? What were you thinking?
Well, okay, for one thing, I was not playing my best tennis to begin with. I mean, it started off pretty rough on my serve. Like, we were up 40-15 on the very first game. End up losing it, get down 2-0. Peyton, my doubles partner, she was playing pretty well from the back. Luckily, like, I was able to make some volleys, you know, do some damage in the front, because, like, God bless my heart, I could not make a ball in the back.
Well, it is not easy. I cannot even imagine, I mean, that situation and the amount of pressure on the shoulders of everyone on your team. But, I mean, especially you in that moment. And then bring me to your singles match. How did that go?
Well, I mean, I think it kind of ran over from doubles. Like, I started playing a little bit better toward the end of the tiebreaker. I started to make a little bit more returns stepping in, and I was just like, you know, I guess that confidence of playing a little bit better led into my singles match. Howard was like, okay, guys, you got to, you know, pour wine into the vat. That's probably my favorite saying. He gives us a story. So he was like, pour wine into the vat. Just don't count on the other person to get the job done for you, because you need to, like, everybody needs to show up. So, I mean, in my singles match, I got down 2-0. I wasn't playing very well for some reason. I was shanking so many forehands. And then Taylor was on my court. He just pretty much told me, like, you know, stay on the ball a bit more and, you know, just play physical tennis, and then brought it back to 2-2, and I kind of ran away with the set. And then I think after, like, 2-2, I was just like, it was just a 100 this way trajectory. It wasn't even that this way. I was playing so well.
That's amazing. And I mean, that's so fantastic. And so you really talked about that moment. Was it really because of your coach, Howard, or what made that switch during the match?
Well, it was actually Taylor. I think, honestly, he didn't really, like, say much. Taylor has, like, a really calming voice. So I think I was, like, kind of antsy with, like, God, I can't make a forehand. I'm, like, missing first balls. So it was just, like, looking at him, and he was just like, you know, just keep it on the strings and just make her work for it. I think it was just, like, somebody believes in you too. So I guess it's just that reassurance that, like, you can do this. It's going to be a tough match. You're playing a good player. who I think she's like a fifth year or definitely a senior. And so she's very experienced. So it's just somebody who is just like, okay, you know, you can do this as long as you do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you are a freshman. So this all happened your freshman year. That is unbelievable. How do you see the future? Can it go up? Can it get better?
I think it could get better. I mean, if we won indoors in the beginning of the year, I don't think it could have gotten better. But at least, like, we finaled, we learned our lessons, and we saved it for NCAAs. But I think in the following years, like, we could be doing some damage like the way we did the first year. Our team is so young. Like I said, we're all freshmen. Actually, 5 out of 6 at the start are freshmen. And so we're here for, like, you know, at least another 3 years to, like, you know, do some really good work on this team.
So exciting. Well, what a thrilling weekend. And it was so much fun for me to watch. And I would have loved to be there in person and support you and your team, and obviously hope to do that in the coming years. So tell me, let's go back to your junior career. So how did you end up at Texas?
It's kind of a funny story. Like, I was at Roland Garros in Qualies. And sometime in May, almost graduating my senior year, I wasn't even recruited by Texas. Like, I was looking at Northwestern, Pepperdine. I was very close to going to Cal. But, you know, the Northwestern coach was there, and I see, like, this Texas coach. I didn't even know who he was. I thought he was the men's coach, and I think he was heard me talking smack about somebody. Because he was, like, always, like, kind of within my vicinity, but I didn't really know who he was. And I played this match in Roland Garros. Like, you would think it's, like, you know, a nice place, but it was, like, probably the worst clay courts. The clay court was this big. I swear, if you, like, move 3 steps outside of the doubles line, you're going to hit the fence. But anyways, I played a good match against this Italian girl. It was high-quality tennis. That's what he said after the match. But I ended up winning 7-6, 6-7, 6-4. And, like, a lot of things happened. Like, I had to go through some adversity. I was playing well. Like, I won the first set. Second set, I was up. I end up losing the second set, but I had to go to, like, the bathroom again. I went to the bathroom between the first and second, and I didn't know the rule between the first and second. You only have one bathroom break in a match, and so I needed to go to the bathroom again. And, like, I think dealing with that adversity and, like, seeing that, like, it was such good quality tennis, like, he really wanted me on his team. So he messaged me after the match, and he was like, "Hi, this is Howard from Texas. Like, I saw your match against so-and-so at the Roland Garros qualifying. Like, I would love to talk to you about Texas." And I was like, "Yeah, sure." I was one of those kids, like, that if any coach texted me, I'd always reply back, whether, like, I had interest in the school or not. And honestly, like, when Texas was messaging me, I was just, like, gonna give it a phone call, you know, just to be polite. But I really had no interest in it. But then when Howard came by and watched every other match, he talked to me about Texas. We had a really long phone call. He said good things, like, in practices, he has a notebook about how he wants to plan, so it seemed like he was organized and he really wanted to develop people. And that's exactly what I was looking for. And I took a visit, and I just really, like, thought the atmosphere was for me. Like, they say, you know, when you go and there's, like, this feeling like, you know, this school's for you. And that was, like, the first time that I felt like at any school, like, okay, yeah, this school is definitely for me. Like, I can just feel it.
That is so incredible. And so now that you're here, now that you have 1 year under your belt, what are you studying? What are you doing off the court?
Off the court, I'm back in California. I'm trying to play some pro tournaments this summer, but I think most of the time I'll be basing my training back in Austin. So I went over with the coaches, with Howard and Taylor, and about a schedule and how we can, like, you know, maximize, like, you know, training and tennis and how it's gonna go. So my main focus is really just pro tournaments.
Yes, absolutely. And so what is your major? Have you declared yet?
Not yet. I mean, I'm all over the place in that area. I'm like, one day I want to go into, like, chemistry, and the other day I want to go into, like, art history. I mean, it's just, like, all over.
There's so many options. That's the thing. It is overwhelming. I totally understand. When I was a freshman, I went through the same thing. So when you're in class, have you had a class that has really stood out to you? You know, something that you might want to pursue?
Yeah, I mean, I called my parents and I told them, like, I really love that sports psychology class. I mean, I don't even think it was, like, in my core curriculum. I just thought it was interesting when I looked at the schedule, and I ended up really, like, loving it. I mean, I think that class and my chemistry class, that's where I retained the most information, really. Like, chemistry is just because I had to study so much, and I had a friend in there, so, you know, we were doing well together. But that sports psychology class, I remember telling my friend and my parents, like, I never felt that way toward a class. So hopefully, yeah, we'll see.
It's very, very cool. And I mean, obviously, there's such a huge mental aspect of tennis, and how have you really worked on that mental side throughout your career?
Well, before, when I was 16, I was a total mess. I was getting mad on the court, breaking rackets. And I went to Carson and I met this guy named Dr. Bob, man. Like, I was telling him Dr. Bob changed my life. He taught me, like, strategies on the court, like how to control, like, that anger and how you should be talking yourself on the court and, like, how important routines are and how to, like, maintain professionalism. You know, it's just, like, stuff like that. It feels, like, kind of overlooked. Like, a lot of parents be like, stop being mad. Like, I know I'm mad, but, like, how do I fix it? And I think that was just, like, you know, that solution to my problem. And it carried over into college. Unfortunately, I can't work with Dr. Bob anymore. So we have this new guy named Chris at Texas, and he's pretty much Dr. Bob, but just not Dr. Bob. He's another great guy, too. And we talk about problems, about how I'm feeling on the court. But talking to Chris and taking that sports psychology class, the sports psychology class just answers more questions that I have with, like, why am I feeling this way and the stuff with the brain. So, yeah, like, I would say the mental part, I've really grown since, I don't know, since I was a teenager until now.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure it's been fantastic for everyone else around you to see as well. And it's really so complex. I mean, the mental side of tennis, both on and off the court, is so complex. And so kind of going off of that, how is your team culture? And how does your team culture deal with the mental side of tennis?
That's the biggest thing Howard talks about. He always says, like, you know, you guys know what you're doing. Like, you're all very good tennis players. I would have not recruited you if you're not a good tennis player. But the thing that's going to bite us in the ass is our mental part of it. If we're going to break down, if we're going to unravel. I mean, I've unraveled, actually, in college. Because I think it was just, like, really overwhelming with, like, school and stress and, like, team atmosphere that you're not really used to. But Howard's really, like, trying to get you, like, you guys need to control yourself. Like, what tennis sport needs to play? And that's just probably the biggest emphasis that he has on us, because he knows that we're all good tennis players.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's so, you know, that's obviously so nice to hear. But at the same time, in the moment, it can be so difficult. So it's very impressive. And hats off to you all for really dealing with that and facing it head on. And so I'm wondering, how are you staying present during this time? Because I feel like when something so great happened to you and your team, how are you staying present and how are you really taking it day by day? Because this is something that has been so fantastic to capture the NCAA championship. I mean, only one team, only a few girls every year get this honor.
Well, honestly, it's a great thing. I remember, like, watching this video on YouTube where, like, the guy, he became valedictorian, and he was like, it's the best 15 seconds of my life. And then 16 seconds later, like, I don't feel anything. But, I mean, for me, that night, I didn't really feel it. I was just like, we won. It's just celebration. But it was the morning after. I was like, wow, I'm an NCAA champion. It feels really good. But then, like, I was just really busy. I couldn't really have time to, like, wow, I'm an NCAA champion. We're so good. I was just having to fly on the airplane, get back to California. And I mean, I was just staying busy. That's just the basic answer. I mean, it's great that we accomplished our goal as a team, but I think we want more. Hopefully next year we can get that indoor title and NCAAs and, you know, and see what we can do.
So fantastic. Well, it seems like the sky is the limit for your team. And so did you get to go out? Did you get to do anything to celebrate? Or were you back on the plane in hours after your match?
We finished, like, at 10 p.m. And then by the time, like, the things start to settle, it's 1 a.m. Next thing you know, I mean, people are coming after you after the match. You're taking pictures. People are congratulating you. Howard and Peyton and everybody has to do some, like, sort of interview. By then, it's 11 o'clock, and at that point, I'm just like, I just want to go eat something. I'm so hungry. I haven't ate since, like, 2:30 in the afternoon.
And you played a doubles and singles, and then you waited for your teammates.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, there's nothing open. Wendy sounded so good that night, and I think we had Chili's burger, which was fine, and we ate it at midnight.
That's so fantastic. Well, it was a victory burger, so love that. Love
exactly.
That. Love that. Well, that is so fantastic. And I am also wondering, so your team is mostly freshmen. So moving forward to next season, you obviously talked about your goals on the court, but what are your goals off the court?
My goal is, you know, to keep having my grades up. I was telling my friend, like, you know, I think school is my hobby. I don't know what to do when I'm in summertime. I'm so bored. There's that time, like, I know you feel the same way. Like, when you're in school, like, you have tennis practice and boom, 30 minutes later, you got to go and, like, do some sort of, like, reading course, and you got that homework due at night. For me, I just enjoy that stress, and, like, it gives me something to do. So I don't know. I mean, for me, it's just get the good grades, and I actually really enjoy school.
Well, that's fantastic. I do as well. And I feel like that structure, that balance of tennis and school is something that has shaped my life. And it's something that honestly, moving forward, now that I'm leaving my competitive tennis career, it's something I'm scared. I feel like I'm going to struggle with that.
Yeah. I mean, when we're in Orlando, I was telling my friend, like, God, I'm having withdrawals. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm so nervous before my match. And I think that school actually, like, brought my attention away from tennis, and it actually was very beneficial with my mental health well-being, because I would just be freaking out about like how well I'm playing or how bad I'm playing. So tennis was just on my mind, but having that school of like, okay, I gotta get this done, that's what kept my sanity throughout the first year.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Charlotte. This has been wonderful to have you.
Yeah, thanks, Perry.
All right, and this is your host, Perry Scheinen.
This is Charlotte Shvatipon, and we are On the Rise.
This has been an episode of On the Rise, a Tennis Channel podcast in partnership with Behind the Racket. Join us next time to continue our conversation about women's college tennis. This is Perry Scheinen, On the Rise.